from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Shoe 360 is a basketball empire. And if you've got a hoop head in the house, get them out there. Get a membership. They will love it. Eat it right up, man. I'm telling you. It's a haven to get better at basketball. Passing drills, dribbling drills, shooting drills, all these things that go into making a better basketball player, you're going to get them out at Shoe 360. 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. It's the same technology that Steph uses that is in the Golden State practice facility, for example. So if it's invested in by NBA players, it's used by NBA players. I want to be an NBA player, like, you know, 2 and 2, right? Equals 4. Shoot 360, 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. Every day around this time. Every day around this time. Oh, yeah. Be prompt. Let's go, YouTube. To the rundown.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right. Memphis Grizzlies are back in action in Summer League. And listen, I feel like we've put together a Marconi Award, not just nominated, but winning week of coverage of the Summer League.
A promotion, too, because, you know, you started this by, you made a suggestion very, very early. You made a decision, John, and that decision was, you know, there's an option to put this dude on ice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a lot of gamesmanship happened since then.
Yeah, we shall see, right? We shall see what happens. But no one covers the Summer League like we cover the Summer League.
They don't need to play him.
It is the most summer of all summers.
What does it accomplish playing him against the Pelicans this afternoon? You tell me.
Nothing. I mean, which I would say is the case about all of Summer League, whether it's against the Pelicans tonight, whether it's against anybody, right? I mean, there's just nothing for him to get out of it other than just cardio. So
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Summer League in and of itself is a pretty, you know,
like a treadmill, basically.
Yeah, your returns are going to be pretty low altogether, whether it's the Pelicans or the Orlando Magic, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Especially because, you know, you're not going to play another NBA big man like you saw in the first game, and I think that's part of the calculus as well.
Yep.
They are down to 8.5. Are the Memphis Grizzlies. So they were 10-point favorite when we started the show. They're now an 8.5-point favorite now. And so I don't know if that means that, you know, maybe there's some skepticism about Edie's availability. Maybe there's some skepticism about
Gigi and Scotty and some of these high-level players.
Because the quote I saw from Jason March last night was something along the lines of, we knew this back-to-back was going to be one that was going to be tough with us. I think we're sitting in a very good situation. We've accomplished what we came out to do. If we have some guys who are too fatigued, we'll be smart with them. We have some guys who haven't played much that we have confidence.
There you go.
So, again, they said that they kind of hinted at that last night, or I should say the night before, and they didn't end up playing their young guys.
Right.
Because you get into these games, right?
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I kind of want to win now. So I'm going to play.
No, it makes sense.
I'm going to play 23-year-old Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I'm not going to play the 19-year-old who's never played point guard.
Right.
You know, like, we can talk a big game about experimentation, but these guys still all want to win.
Well, and the game calculus changes too, right? And the mission changes. In other words, it's a high-pressure leverage potential win or lose situation, kind of coin flip game, or it's a game where we're starting out, it's a decimated 0-3 Pelicans team that looks like crap on paper.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the thing. It's like, you know, again, as a late game, summer league situation, is there value in that?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough call for me.
I thought that, for example, the Edie game, going back to it, that one I felt like was good. He played through an injury in game with a turn ankle,
yeah,
and then did a tip in with 2 7-footers on either side of him. That was a, I liked that.
I agree with that.
That was a good run.
Yeah, and that's why, like, that's the only time he's played.
Right.
I mean, and I kind of feel like we've been sort of saying the same thing.
I mean, it's our last view.
You know what I mean? Like, we've kind of, for a week and a half now, we kind of been saying the same thing about it. But it is the truth.
But it was enough for me. Like, I was fine after that.
Yeah, I think most people are, you know, fine with it. I think they're greedy. They want to be greedy, and they want to see a little more Edie.
Right.
And so,
I see what you're doing.
You know, I don't know. I'm ambivalent, I would say. Ambivalent toward it. It's not like we're not dealing with the the top Democrats pressuring Joe Biden to step down here, right? This is summer league basketball. And so whether
that's
or not
fair.
Edie plays, you know, we're going to make it sound important because that's what we do, but it's not. The important thing is that he's ready.
I'll watch it if he's in. I didn't watch yesterday.
Oh, well, I'll watch. I'll watch just a case, just to see what's up. You know, I think I've watched every summer league game.
Wow.
I haven't watched every summer league game.
That's good.
I've watched
multiple
summer league games every night. Every night. Not just Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me.
Did you watch the Bronny game yesterday?
I sure did.
Okay.
I sure did.
I want to hear some thoughts on it.
So let me see. Who did I watch last night? Did they not have a summer league? Here we go. They got a summer league page at ESPN.
Yeah, just hit NBA summer league and you can go back to the boxes from yesterday.
Well, what's interesting about summer league is that it's separate of the NBA. We talked about this, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was bought and paid for by a Vegas entrepreneur.
Okay, that's the part I didn't know because I heard you talking about the valuation on Monday.
It's separate.
You broke it down. Is that why they're in Vegas?
Yes.
Oh.
It's a guy named Warren Legarry. They actually interviewed him on the during the Bronny game last night.
He bought it like it's a franchise.
Yeah.
And he genius.
And he got all the teams to commit to play. He got television deals so that the teams got something out of it.
That dude's a genius.
And it's an event.
It is an event, and it's all together because it's one of the rare places where you've got enough to seat 5,000 to 10,000 people in three venues.
And he said the tickets are only like $35 to $45.
It's so awesome. I have so many friends that went out this year because they can bring their kids and get access to players.
Kids are 35.
You can get autographs easily most of the time.
Yeah. And so, listen.
How about that?
It is. I think he was saying something along the lines of like every rookie of the year besides LeBron has played in summer league in the last 20 years.
That is cool. Well, that's why that value. What did he buy it for? He bought it for, you said the price was
nothing.
Like,
it was like a $10 million.
It was nothing. Yeah, and now it's like $150 million or something.
Yeah, I need to look
that's crazy.
I need to look that up.
Damn. Yeah, NBA summer league. If you go to the NBA tab at ESPN.com, there's a pull down, and it's got free agency, draft, and NBA summer league, and it's got all the stuff right there, including the schedules.
But yeah, he did a great job with the vision there for sure.
Smart.
But I would say, I've watched 80% of summer league games. That would be my conservative number. It might be a little less, it might be a little more, but I would say I've watched like bits and pieces of like 80% of games for sure. And so
last night, if you look at 17th, they had. I mean, there was a bunch of games last night.
Yeah, I watched Celtics Hornets. I watched Grizz Magic. Yep. I watched Suns Thunder.
Did you watch the Jazz Raptors?
Did not watch that one. I watched Celtics, Hornets, Grizz Magic, Suns Thunder, and Lakers Hawks. Those are the four games I watched last night.
Yeah, that was a 1-point game.
It's just, you know, I'm dedicated to the cause, Warren. I'm dedicated to the cause. So whether or not, you know, Zach E plays tonight, you know, I'll definitely have an eye on it. But, yeah, in terms of other summer league happenings, Bronny finally hit a three.
It was a tie of the game.
He hit multiple threes, actually.
Now, he was a minus for the game, but minus 10 for the game.
Yes, but the Lakers finally win their first game of any summer basketball.
Congratulations, Lakers.
And no Dalton Connect last night.
Nope.
which is interesting. Maybe he's the problem.
How dare you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a coincidence. We'll see what they do. We'll see what they do to their back.
We're better off without you, Dalton.
Maybe so, man. I mean, you know, it's the Ewing theory, right? It's the Ewing theory at play. I will say this: I came away. It's insane. All of it, as it relates to Bronny, is absolutely insane. Every time he touches the ball, you can hear it in the crowd.
Of course.
Every time he shoots the ball, the way if it goes in, like he made the first shot of the game last night, and mm-hmm. it was as if it was a game winner, right? I mean, it was nuts. It was nuts the way the crowd reacts.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think he's a really good kid. I think he's a really good kid. And I think he was thrust into a situation that he didn't necessarily ask for.
Got into it with the refs, though, yesterday.
He did. He thought he got fouled.
Got a tech.
I'm talking about in terms of his coverage.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in terms of the
how his handling
circus.
And all his stuff, right.
You know, like, he didn't ask to be drafted by the Lakers, right? That was his dad's production. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask to be sort of, you know, foisted up as this next coming of his dad. That's not ever, you know, that's never been him his whole life. He was a four-star prospect. He had a heart attack, basically,
yeah.
at USC, and he's recovering from that. And look, I don't think he's an NBA basketball player, okay? I don't think that. But I do think, like, come on, man. We're talking about a second-round kid here. We're talking about a guy. You know, second rounders aren't supposed to be pros.
Right.
That's why they are in the second round. That's why they're there. And sometimes you can find some, right? Joker was a second rounder. I mean, Grizz have a lot of second rounders for sure, although I don't think I'd put him in Joker's category yet, maybe.
Nah,
maybe someday.
Not so much.
But you know, he's just a kid that's trying to make his dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's not the guy that's inviting all of this. He's not the guy saying, "I want all the smoke. I'm gonna show the world how you know I belong." You know, he just wants to kind of play basketball and
I agree
play Call
you.
Of Duty.
But his franchise is screwing him over.
Oh, like, no. They his dad is putting him in an impossible situation. Now, listen, if Bronny retires medically tomorrow from basketball,
yeah.
he's fine. Breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
He's fine. But in terms of just like if you're trying to ply your trade, I think there are blessings and curses that come with being the son of LeBron James.
Right.
You know, and just like Michael Jordan's kids felt once upon a time, right? Like, you get the blessing of you're Jordan's kid. You get the benefit of you have access to all the resources and all the things you could ever possibly mm-hmm. want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the curse of I'm never going to be able to probably live up to my dad. And that's hard.
Well, and in sports, it's becoming more and more frequent that franchises. Chris Wallace was notorious for this. The genetic draft. You find out who the parents are, and baseball does this a lot. Like the Holiday family right now are super hot. The number one prospect next year is the third Holiday kid or the second Holiday
right,
kid.
Right,
because,
right, right, right.
Because it's Matt Holiday's kid.
Yes.
And his brother was good. You know, like
right.
so. Genetically, if you're drafting that kid
yeah.
and you're making him the number one overall pick, you're banking on not only is he show all these analytics and
right.
stuff, but oh, he just happens to be Matt Holiday's kid.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely you know.
Bronny's got
I get
good.
It.
I mean, his genetics clearly are awesome.
No, I mean, it's, you know? He's got the best genetics you could ever ask for from a basketball.
Didn't
standpoint.
Get the height one, but that's maybe mom's fault.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have it all, I guess. And so. I find him to be a mostly sympathetic figure, is what I would say. I find him to be like a, you know, again, he's a wealthy kid from, you know, basically Beverly Hills at this point. Went to, you know, what was that? What's that school?
It's a prep school out
yeah,
there,
yeah,
right?
I can't remember what the hell it's called.
Mission. Or
but everybody goes there, right? Everybody goes there.
Right.
So he's a wealthy kid from there. But at the same time, you know, he's just a guy.
Sierra Canyon.
Yeah, Sierra Canyon. He's just trying to... you know, make it happen
yep.
for himself. And I do think that's, like, you know, in my case, you know, in my life, it was more of, I was going to create the example for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
You were battling.
I didn't have anything to necessarily live up to, you know, which is freeing in some ways.
Right.
In some ways, it's hard. And in some ways, it's like, I have a blank canvas, and I can go make my way in the world. I can go make my life in the world. And Bronny, unfortunately for him, you know, his canvas is far from blank.
Right.
His
right.
canvas is littered with LeBron, King James. You're the son of the greatest player ever. You have to be as good as him or else you're going to be a failure.
Well, and I think Bronny has worked hard to get to where he's at. The problem is when you grow up like Bronny James did going to Sierra Canyon and you got Beverly Hills and your dad is the best player ever in the NBA besides Michael Jordan, like, I think it's it's easy, or you don't understand, like, you worked hard and you earned your job and everything that you've got, John. I can say that about you. And I think Bronny feels that way, but he didn't have the life experience that you do.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So he frames it as, well, yeah, I earned it. I'm everything earned.
Right.
Because you don't know the life force outside of your own life experience.
And look, I think there, and it's not just Bronny, right?
We like know he that, worked hard.
Yeah, he worked hard. I believe
got
that.
Got through a heart ailment, got his ass back on the court, you know, played at USC for, you know, all the stuff.
Would we agree that he earned being drafted 55th?
No. Hell no.
We would say he did not earn it.
No.
But a lot of people get things that they don't earn in America.
I honestly think, and I'm not even kidding, if I were the Lakers, and you can't say it because Bronny would not sign, LeBron would not sign off it, but there are situations where as the kid, what you say, and you hear Joe Buck say this a lot. Hear this. This is exactly how Joe Buck talks. He goes, well, yeah, my dad kind of got me my job.
Right.
Because when you do that, and then you're as good as Joe Buck, nobody cares that you got nepotism.
Right.
They actually appreciate it.
It disarms you.
It unasses you because you can't attack the guy because you know that Joe Buck is friggin' amazing in his job.
Like, we know, to that point, like, we know that Jack Collinsworth got the job with NBC 100%. Because of his dad, right?
Yeah, and in our business,
he was bad.
And that's why they didn't let him on the sidelines. They let him do this hokey on the field stuff before, and then they got him in the booth. They're like,
And now he's gone, right?
No, I think he's still doing the prehab post stuff because he's perfect. For that sort of affable, you know, man on the field before the Super Bowl kind of vibes.
Yeah.
But my point is, like, that happens in our business a lot. Like, these dudes go to Syracuse because daddy sends them to Syracuse.
Right.
And then, you know, the dude from the Clippers, I'm trying to think of it. It's Ian Eagle's son, Noah.
Yes.
Noah got the gig.
Yes.
But Noah's friggin' amazing.
Noah's very good.
Noah gets the Clippers job.
No, there's no doubt.
You know, so there's some nepotism going on. My point is, it is a lot easier when you can go, nepotism probably got, like, my dad had an excavating business, so I was working in friggin' trenches. I didn't have a good job, you know? But, like, if you admit it, it disarms it, and it makes the situation so much better. Unfortunately, when the head coach, J.J. Redick, gets up there and he goes, with a straight friggin' face, it's embarrassing.
Right.
Because
no, it's true.
Like, you just got this job, and you're saying he earned all, like, get the hell out of here.
It's 100% true. Now, I will say this. I pray that someday my children get jobs that they didn't earn.
Absolutely.
I pray that.
You could only hope in your life to have the opportunity.
Because honestly, it's hard.
It's so hard.
Like, I
tell Jake all the time, please never do this job that I'm doing or get into that field.
Absolutely,
ever.
Man.
So I'm not going to have the opportunity, hopefully.
I had a lot of help. From, you know, like some mentors like Jeff and GP, like, definitely took me in and became advocates of mine.
But you worked that.
Right. I didn't have a lot of media people have like a gateway, right? They have like a parent, a dad, like Jason's dad, right? Jason's had cachet in the market off rip because his dad was Les Smith. That's just the truth.
Right.
His dad was known in Memphis media on the airwaves, right? So automatically, when Jason comes into a room, people love Les Smith. They respect Les Smith. They respect Jason Smith.
You get your foot in the door, and then you got the goods to do it or not.
When I walked into a room, I was like, who is this?
But I will say, one of the calculated things that you did that was very smart is you developed your own Les Smiths. You just mentioned two of them. They weren't your parent.
That's true.
But like...
No, you have to.
They weren't your parent, but this is something... And it is. It sounds ridiculous. It's very basic business of people who are now my age. But
right.
It's like, if you don't develop that network, it's hard. You can. You really can't.
No, it's
you
true.
Really can't do. You can't do this by yourself.
No,
just go,
because
you know.
It's true. Because like what? Honestly, I have a lot. You know, of young people who will reach out to me. You know, and with all due respect, like I have no idea who you are.
Right.
And you're not. And I don't know anybody that knows you. And so. The human condition is, I'll look at your stuff, and I'll listen to your stuff, but it's like, if you don't have that, you know, person that's vouching for your work.
100%.
We get that stuff across. I'm sure you get it across your desk every single day.
I get it every day, and you also get it sometimes way too late. You were super early, so you were way ahead of the game. But like Sheila, who's been in here this month, doing some, just, she's a couple things.
Shout out to Sheila.
Sheila wants to start at ground zero.
Okay.
Most don't want to do that. They immediately jump to host, so they skip a step, which is fine. Some are elite. Some can do it. We've done it. We've put people who skip several steps, but she's not skipping any steps. Two, She started way early. Like, she came in as a high school, you know, intern, job shadow. Hey, we don't have any paid internships. That's fine. I'll just shadow for a week. Hey, you know, can I just, you know. So she's 18, 19 years old.
Right.
Most of the folks, and then a lot of these people haven't seen what Covington looks like. They haven't worked at the Daily Memphian. They haven't been to Litchfield. You know, like, they're not interviewing for a job at a paper in Jackson,
right,
like John. So it's late, and they don't want to go from zero. They want to go to 60 instead of going 0-60.
Exactly.
So I say that to say, if we're comparing it to LeBron, I don't think people are surprised at it. It's going to get more ridiculous, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's going to get more ridiculous.
Now, I will say this. He's going to be in the G League. So
hopefully
his attention,
hopefully most of the time
he will be. The attention is going to not be so excruciating.
But when JJ comes out and says he will play for the Lakers, that's a vote of confidence.
That's one of those stupid votes of confidence. Like, I want to give my guys some confidence. I want to, like, he's got to keep LeBron happy because his job status is now tied to that man.
Yeah.
Right. So you now is not the time for you to come in saying, I don't know. I mean, it kind of sucks. You know, like, now is
we're too late. That ship sailed.
Now is not the time for that.
Yeah.
Now is the time to sort of ingratiate yourself and, you know, say the right things, which JJ as a Duke graduate is certainly going to do. Right. But, you know, it's another form of politics. Life is about politics. And part of the world, you know, in business and actual politics, I mean, you need to have advocates. You need to have advocates in your line of work.
That's fair.
Because it's almost impossible to get any respectable job without them. You know, I mean, it's just the reality. Like, my biggest weapon, you know, when I got here was Jeff was willing to basically not take the job for me.
That's right.
That was my advocacy.
Sure.
And that was extreme, you know, but it got me here.
No, I think that relationship, forget the particulars. Your point is exactly right. You have to have a Jeff. You have to have a network oriented person. You have to have a person who believes in you.
Yes.
Even if you've got a job, you need people that believe in you. It's part of our
network. I'll say this, like, advocacy, it takes work to form that.
Yeah.
You
earn that.
You know, you have to foster that.
Yes.
You know, just because you reach out to me, right,
right,
and ask me to read your stuff, I'm not all of a sudden going to be an advocate for you.
Right.
That's just not you need to show me that you, like, care, that
yes,
you want to compete, that you're good.
Oh,
that,
absolutely. Well, I've literally had hundreds of people in these doors now because I've been here
yes,
so long.
Yes.
And out of those hundreds, there's about 5 to 10 of our interns and part-timers and guys who have come through our doors that I can even name, Marcus being one of them. Like, Marcus,
right.
Marcus was so ahead of a lot of people who have had that job because he's booking, like, y'all were on vacation and he's out here booking crazy guests.
Don Nelson.
He finds Don Nelson on the side of a beach in Hawaii with a, you know, a pot farm.
Like, rest in peace, Don Nelson.
Yeah. I mean, like, but that, and that, not just the booking, but, like, the effort. Like, he's downloading podcasts. He's doing, and I'm like,
Don Nelson's not even dead.
No, I think he's still living.
And you just let me say that.
Yeah, I should have trap shot you.
He's 84.
No, he's in Hawaii and loving life, bro.
We got him on because he was playing poker and somebody died at his table.
Was that the story?
Yeah, he said somebody died at his table.
Well, he had a story. I think he might have written a book.
Oh, he's like doing like pot farming, right?
He was promoting the pot farm or something. Or he had some book
something. But he had, like, it was this whole piece where he's like, yeah, we play poker. And, we play poker so much somebody died at the table.
But that was only one piece that I remember from Marcus's summer here. Like, Marcus was so, and also Marcus had some connections. Like, he had done several things that Sheila did. He had reached out summer. But a lot of this is advocacy. Like, you've got to set up a network of people, and I think it happens in every job. Now, when you're 7'4" and you're freaking Zach Edey, it really doesn't matter. You know, I would rather have that problem.
Oh, no, that's true. Like, there's sometimes you are so undeniable that you don't need it.
Always.
But that's rare.
Well, it's like these basketball coaches. They always want the 7-foot guy. That's usually a better D. That's a better way.
Because
that's pretty automatic.
I agree. But, like, so Brody had a great night last night. Yeah. Lakers finally win.
Give me your walkaway.
My walkaway is very simple. I guess. I don't know. I don't know if it's very simple.
Is anything simple with this guy?
No. But I find that he's a good-hearted young man who has unfortunately been put into a situation that is bigger than himself.
Right.
Which makes it very difficult. But with any luck, if I do what I would like to do over the next 30 years of my working life, I would like to make it to where my kids, if they so choose, like, I'd like to be able to turn to whoever the program director at 92.9 is in 30 years and say, hey, my kid wants to be a host.
Yep.
And then that program director say, well, we'll put them on.
Yeah.
If that's what they want to do.
That's a great opportunity.
They may not want to do that. They may want to do something else.
Absolutely.
In which case, I can't help them.
That's
but
right.
I can help them here. And, you know, look, media can be a fun business. It's and a very freeing business.
Don't do this, though.
It's tough.
If there are young people listening and you're below the age of 25 or 20,
yeah,
go do it. Go into engineering. Like, go into computers.
Yeah, I would recommend not, because, I mean, the truth of it is that you're probably just not going to make it. That's the truth of it. Like, people think that anybody can do this.
It doesn't pay either.
Right? It's hard to make money.
It's so fruitless.
And a lot of people can't do it. So, that's what I would say.
You might. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like being a basketball player.
If you're successful,
yeah,
you know, you'll have opportunities.
Yep.
It's just that's, but if you're, you
it's
know,
facts.
If you're not, you will not.
Yep.
So, anyway, Bronny's going to have some opportunities. It may be in the G League, but he's going to have some opportunities. And I was glad to see that they finally won a damn game, man. They had to hold on. And it was no Reese Hachet, no Dalton Connect yesterday. So I just kind of felt like if you're not going to do it tonight, man, it's like G Leaguers versus G Leaguers. Right. Like, you're just never going to do it.
These are your guys.
Like, come on, man. You're supposed to be, get one by accident.
I will say, if you're ranking worst teams in summer league, you mentioned the Pelicans, but I'm looking at this 0-3 Hawks squad.
Hawks are bad.
Oh, boy, buddy.
Yeah, they're very
thin.
They're very bad. They're down 2-3. Now, they were supposed
I don't know any of these guys.
We talked to Dan Wilkin about this yesterday. They were supposed to have Kobe Bufkin at guard, but he hurt his shoulder, right?
Gotcha.
And he would have been a big difference maker. And then they lost their backup point guard. And now they're on the third backup point guard, Keaton Wallace,
yep,
who turned his ankle last night.
Windler didn't play and Research didn't
correct.
Play.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are two studs.
Tough one. Tough one there for the Atlanta Hawks. Grizzlies, we'll see. They play the Pelicans going for 4-0. If they get to 4-0, they'll obviously be in the playoffs. It just remains to be seen exactly how much they care about this.
Next story.
All right. Some of y'all going to have to do some repentance. Mm-hmm. And y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Because Caitlin Clark.
Oh, boy.
Set another WNBA record. Jason picked a hell of a week to be out. Because she already had the first triple-double in WNBA history for a rookie. And then she set the entire WNBA record last night in a loss, granted, against the Dallas Wings. But she set the WNBA record for assists with 19
wow.
of them boys. 19 assists last night for Caitlin Clark. And I think a lot of people would be I think it would do people really well to look in the mirror and ask why they were so weird about Caitlin the whole way. Like, why people were just so clumsy and cringy and awkward about her. Because there were a lot of people. There were a lot of people that, a month and a half ago, when the Indiana Fever were playing the Liberty and
sure.
the and the Aces and the Sun every other game, there were a lot of people that were had strange energy about Caitlin that, like, for whatever reason, just did not want to acknowledge
right.
the kind of player that she has already proven to be. You know, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Cheryl Reeve is one of them. Cheryl Reeve is freaking weird, bro. Cheryl Reeve has an issue. And I think she needs to maybe, seek therapy for it or something. Because her attitude and energy towards Caitlin Clark is just strange, you know. And it's not professional. Because she's obviously involved with the national team. First of all, the idea that Caitlin Clark's on the national
team—that's ridiculous.
I mean, that's being proven more and more every day.
That's ridiculous.
Talking about earning stuff, she just set two records in the same year in the same month.
Well, she's going to embarrass Cheryl Reeve now at this point.
I think Cheryl Reeve should be removed from because she clearly can't make objective decisions about the team.
Right.
So I think she should be removed. And I think a lot of people need to look in the mirror and ask why would they were so weird about Caitlin Clark. Because. It was never anything about other than basketball, right? It was just about that. And if you could just look at it from that perspective and stop trying to make everything a social referendum, then I think we would have been able to move forward. But it was a social referendum, And that's exhausting. It's an exhausting way to live your life. I'm not saying that there aren't important causes out here, okay? I understand that. And there is. There are a lot. And there are a lot of underrepresented and, oppressed groups in the world. I'm not naive to that. And I know as a straight white man, I'm not one of them. I get that. And so maybe it's a luxury for me to be able to sit here and say this. But I also think that we're talking about basketball. We're talking about hoops. We're not talking about Jim Crow. We're not talking about civil rights movement. We're not talking about, the 60s and 70s Olympics here. We're not talking about segregated water fountains. We're talking about basketball, man. And I do think that what ultimately happened is that people were certain people were, for whatever reason, holding Caitlin as the face of this aggression. Like Caitlin was the source of this aggression and rejecting her as the face of basketball, of women's basketball, for that reason, even though it's never been any part of her, right? At no point has she given anybody any reason to believe that that's her character or that that's what she's about. People take what people say on the internet and they extrapolate and they say, oh, well, Caitlin allows her fans to talk this way. She must feel this way, which is just patently absurd, has nothing to do with that. She can't control what people say on the internet, whether or not they're real fans of her or not. It just doesn't matter. She's not the machine or vessel for some agenda. She's a great basketball player. And I genuinely think that most of the weird energy about her was rooted in that, was rooted in the fact that she is a straight white woman. And those certain groups that I was talking about, they viewed her as the source of the aggression, which she never has been. She never has been. And also, by the way, this is not like some war. Like, this is not some victory, okay, that Caitlin Clark is a great basketball player. It's a victory for her. It's a victory for the Indiana Fever organization. Frankly, it's a victory for women's basketball, if we're going to be real about it. But it ain't some social win out here that she's great. It's just that she's great. And her impact on basketball is going to be widespread, and it's going to be felt for generations. This is truly a watershed moment for women's basketball that everybody that plays this game, every young girl that plays this game, regardless of race, gender, creed, religion, orientate, does not matter, is going to benefit from. Watch. We just saw the media deal yesterday. I mean, what did it go up?
Records.
A billion percent?
Huge.
They're getting huge money now.
Huge money.
And this is just the beginning. They're expanding over the next 2 years.
Yep.
Right? And I'm not saying that Caitlin Clark is the only reason for this, but I'm going to tell you this right now. She's the biggest. She's the biggest.
Right.
And we can dance around it.
It was a $2.2 billion deal.
Over 11 years.
Yeah.
Which is not even, I mean, a mammoth deal compared to what it was.
Yeah.
And the exposure is going to be bigger.
You got the flights and the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, and look, again, I'm not saying Caitlin's only, but she's the biggest.
Yeah.
And I think we have to, like, be able to say that, by the way.
Yes.
And that's not...
No, I think and it's fine. It's fine.
Every sport has that guy.
Right.
Or woman.
Sure.
Right? Every sport has that one transcendent figure. For NBA basketball, that was Jordan. He changed it.
The facts.
The course of history in the NBA, right?
Yes.
In the NFL, I mean, we could probably argue about that. I mean, because it's been popular for a long time.
The brand itself and how they've assembled it, but Goodell.
I would say, I don't know, I'd probably say Brady. I mean, I'd say Brady was probably the face, right? The face of the league in terms of what he achieved. Because it's, but the NFL is more of like the shield.
Yeah.
You think about the shield as opposed to one player. But, Tiger and golf. I mean, like.
100%.
Every sport has that transcendent figure,
right.
That changes the course of the sport's history.
Yep.
And.
Well, that's why we keep arguing about baseball, because baseball isn't capitalizing on some of these people. Like, they're not doing a good job with it.
It might be my guy, Ellie De La Cruz, man.
You make a good case. I mean, Skeens or Ohtani.
But Ellie wants to learn English, man. He doesn't just want to be like, oh, you know, I'm from the Dominican Republic and, right. You know, I'm going to speak Spanish and everybody's going to have to. Mm-hmm. He wants to genuinely
cross over.
Yeah. You know, it could be him, right?
It could be him.
So yep. every sport has that
person.
You get
good examples. A Tiger is a good one.
And Caitlin is that for the WNBA. You know, I mean, it is amazing what is happening. Now that they're not playing a great team every other night, they're starting to, it's sort of balancing out a little bit, right? And Caitlin has taken full, she's just a rookie. The idea that we were ever having this argument about rookie of the year is absurd. It was never a race. It was never going to be close. And that's because of the greatness that is Caitlin Clark. I don't know what more you guys need to see. Should have had 20 assists last night. I can't tell you how many layups they blow, you know? But the reality is I'll bottom line it this way.
Yeah.
Every time Caitlin Clark takes a court, it doesn't need to be and isn't a referendum on society, folks. All right? This is not life and death that we're talking about. This is not the difference between oppression and aggression and freedom or anything like that. We're talking about basketball now. All right? And when you try to inject those things, for me it misses the mark. It's like you're trying to sort of make a conversation that's not about that. And it just doesn't fly for me. It doesn't work for me. There are definitely cases where it is about that. It's not about that here. It's about a transcendent basketball player who happens to be a cisgender, straight, white woman, right?
Yep.
But it's really about her greatness. It's about her greatness and her immediate greatness. It's like LeBron, right? It's like you were built up. You were built up in such a way,
mm-hmm.
like it was such a myth almost. There was no way you were going to be able to live up to that.
Yep.
There's no way.
No.
She's doing it.
What's interesting is she has had numerous opportunities to stick her words in the wrong place because they put a camera in front of her and they ask her questions every day. I mean,
and she handles every situation with grace.
It's like we're waiting for her to misstep.
There hasn't been any of it. Oh, they jumped on her. They jumped on her when she didn't denounce, racism and sexism and all these different things. You know, in a question that she was not prepared to answer. Right? People assume because I think a lot of WNBA media lives on the internet. They're terminally online. And so they just assume that everything they see is real. And everything they see on Twitter is like, this is the actual discourse that's happening in America.
Yeah, this is life
but
here.
But it's not.
Right.
It's not. These are people who live behind a computer screen and forget what life actually is like. And they just think that their little bubble that they create of outrage and anger and hate is the way it really is in the world. And I'm not saying that it can't be that, by the way. It can. But go up to somebody, right? Go up to somebody and ask them what they think about Caitlin Clark. Like, they're not going to say, well, she didn't denounce racism.
Right.
She didn't denounce this. She didn't denounce that. They're going to say, Caitlin Clark's an awesome player. That's the real world, right?
Yeah.
You get into trolling, and like, I've been guilty of this too myself, right? Like, I get into trolling. You get
sucked in if you're on there at night, and maybe it's a conversation that you're
We had Bomani on the show, you know, he actually put it in such an interesting way that we're addicted to the outrage almost.
Yeah.
That we're addicted to it, that we need it, that we're just so conditioned to it that we have to have it. And I think that, like, I do sometimes, I'm ready to fight.
Yep.
I'm ready to fight on the internet, you know? And it's like, I'm not like that in real life.
No.
I'm a cool guy in real life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, because I know face-to-face.
I'm here.
You know, we're going to have a cool, calm, collected conversation.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But, and all the gloves come off on the internet.
It is something. I actually learned this from Dan Barron from a managerial perspective. It happens in here, in our office, because we're all in here prepping for radio shows. You run around, you're on the internet, you see one of our coworkers tweet something, and it is so important to go over to the person and talk to them. I know that sounds like a very basic thing, but because I've been guilty of it. You know, you don't go and talk to that person. You
right.
don't go talk to John, you know. And I need to do that. And I think that's kind of a similar conversation, right? It's always different when you get in front of somebody and you talk about it.
It is. And so, again, like I unfortunately for Caitlin, she has been dragged into a situation where it's almost inseparable, right?
Right.
But the main people that I used to see every day come up on my For You page. They used to come up every single day talking mm-hmm. to basically trying to poke holes in her career, trying to say that she wasn't this or she wasn't that because of what she is or stands for. I don't see those people tweeting anymore.
Well, and these, it's interesting you say it's on the For You page because they know what provokes you.
Oh, for sure. I engage
these are
with
things
it.
That
I engage
will,
with it.
Like, these are things that will give us more engagement, like crack.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Well, the X is, again, that's what X is designed for.
It's the algorithm. That's why they're building the supercomputer for
this
stuff.
Yeah, like, unfortunately, X is a rage-baiting app. That's what it is. It's an engagement-farming, rage-baiting app. I mean,
it's crazy, isn't it?
Tell me the last wholesome thing you saw on X. You can't. You can't. It doesn't get pushed. All right.
Nothing, no, it's not in the algorithm.
Nothing on social media that's nice gets
not
pushed.
Not anymore.
I mean, it's occasionally, like, it's so rare they actually have a name for it on TikTok. It's called Hopecore.
Really?
It's Hopecore.
That's a positive message that's like gone viral?
Like a nice video of like a son and a dad, like, you know, bonding or something.
Would the cranberry juice ad that came back during COVID, that would be classified as that? The guy on the skateboard?
No, that, I guess.
Kind of happy.
But Hopecore is more like, you know, helping out, like somebody helps out a homeless person or like, you know, with sweet little music in the background. But again, it's now become a genre. Mm-hmm. It's not like just a normal thing that happened. It's like, oh, this is special.
Right.
We got to put music behind this.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like
it's different.
As opposed to just like your average, like, Trump, Biden, Trump. He ain't trying to kill my president.
Right.
You know, like, that's...
unfortunately for you, John, going to be a long fall in that category.
Oh, it is. It is. That's why I'm just focused on betting on college
just
football.
Just get that football on.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm definitely... I'm about to be like... my name is Bennett, and I ain't in it. Like, y'all let me know what happens in November, bro, at this point. I mean, I'm out of it. I'm so detached from it.
I am, too.
And I just have to be. Just have to be. Like, I'm not interested in this... this super violent, engaged, fueled rhetoric that's going around, man, on every side. Like, I don't let politics dictate or rule my life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I have my feelings, I have my ideas, and I have policy that I agree with.
Yeah.
But I see this like my dad used to be so bad about this. He used to upset, and there are so many people, right? There are so many older people.
Older especially. My old man's the same way.
They obsess over politics.
Yep.
And I'm just like, bro.
Yeah.
You are not in the White House. You are not in the Oval Office.
Right.
I promise you that everything that's happening, like, it ain't going to affect you.
You're right.
I mean, it will, but it won't.
It really won't.
Like, I don't need you relaying to me decisions that are made on an executive branch level or that aren't not. I don't need that from you because it doesn't, A, you ain't got nothing to do with that, and it ain't going to affect you. You know, the majority of the stuff that people argue about, like, doesn't even impact them on a day-to-day basis. Like,
it's true.
And so, like, you know what I'm focused on? I'm focused on seeing if Kaylin can get to number 20. Can she break the 19 record of this year?
Oh, I think she's only going to get better. Because the
watch
game
out.
Is, I mean.
Watch out!
This is super early in it. Like, they don't. Do they do a summer league? They don't do like a summer league. They do like a little camp and then here, play the games, ladies.
I'm sure they will do a summer league, though.
Oh, I bet that's coming. Like, you'll see a spring league.
Yeah.
Like a pre-draft camp where they have like mini contracts for the.
I mean, there's a lot of young hype about some up and come, like, you got Paige Beckers, you got Juju Watkins, like, you got some young hoopers where there would be some hype for sure. On the problem is, like, you don't have a long off season.
The timing sucks because, like, you're doing
season
during the
summer. Season
starts
in May,
right? It's after the NCAA tournament,
and so I don't think you would really want to go up against. You got NBA playoffs and you still got NCAA tournament.
That's
right?
Tough.
So I mean, it's just gonna be a tough sell for the timing of that, but I think it could be women's basketball. Like I said, like, Caitlin is just, she's leading into this new Juju Watkins is going to continue it, right?
Yeah,
like, Paige Beckers is going to continue it. It's a beneficiary. It's like, people are going to benefit in the future, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, where WNBA players are going to be able to make generational money because of the popularity that Caitlin created or took to a new level. You don't have to like it.
Yep.
Okay. Like, maybe there's a hint of, well, you know, why her? What's so special? You know, which on a human level, I guess, but she is. She is special, and she is different. I mean, she's putting up 20 and 13. She's putting up 24 and 19. Like, she is different, bro. Nobody does this. And she's pulling up from 30 on your head, and she's making it. Like, her passes, WNBA ain't never seen passes like that. It's almost, they're almost too sexy.
Yeah.
Can't even handle them.
Well, yeah, you're missing assists because people aren't ready for him. It's a different passer.
They're not used to having bounce passes like that being led right to the offhand. They're not used to that. Kalen's different, and Kalen's going to inspire a whole generation. I know people don't like when I go on about Kalen Clark, Jason especially. I'm doing this in his honor. I'm doing this in his tribute. He'll be here Monday to defend himself. But, you know, the Angel Reese, Kalen Clark, Rookie of the Year race, there's no race. Let's stop being weird about it. Can we pledge to do that?
We pledge to do that.
Can we pledge to stop being weird about Kalen, man?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she's not the source of all things that are wrong in the world. I promise you that.
Yep.
She's a great player who is going to be a bright beacon for the future of women's basketball.
Now, we can't have a crappy Olympic team without her, though, still. Like, we still need to be
credible.
Yeah,
that's going to be a thing. Yeah, well,
can we get her last minute on the roster?
No.
Is there any way
she's got to earn it, Brad. She's got to earn it. She got to have 20 assists.
I do wish she was on the Olympic team. I would be watching that. I won't watch it now. And it's not just because of her. Like, I know her, so, like, you know.
People's takes on Kalen have aged like milk. I mean, they just have. Like, they thought she was just going to be, like, some standard rookie that's going to come in average 8 a game. And, like, no, bro. She's going to go down as the greatest women's basketball player that ever existed, okay? Accept that. You got 15 years to come to terms with it, okay? It's just the way it is. Barring injury. Now, she's not the MVP. That goes to Asia Wilson. Asia Wilson has ended that race. She's having an unbelievable season. But Kalen Clark, when it's all said and done, is going to have she's going to be the best basketball player that ever lived. When people ask that question, they say, who was it? They're going to say Kalen Clark.
Right.
No doubt in my we already know. She's the GOAT. She's going to be the GOAT. People ain't going to like it. But she's doing this as a rookie. Ladies and gentlemen, she had a triple-double, never happened. She had 19 assists, never happened. Bro, she is a rookie. She's in her 15th game. She's in her 15th game of her career. Barring injury, she's going to be the greatest ever. And y'all ain't got to like it, but you got to learn to love it because it's the best thing smoking. When we come back, Jeff Calkins will join us at 125. Also, speaking of best thing smoking, the SEC, big money. How big is the SEC money? Somehow, the answer is going to surprise you. Talk about when we get back. Jason and John, 90 China FM, ESPN. Yeah, when it comes to the wings of the wing guru, they not like us. Oh, wait. Those are the best wings in Memphis in the world. All right, I'm going to put them up against anybody in the world. Facts. By the way, speaking of which.
Yes, sir.
Dot. Calvin Austin, the third, going to be in studio. We might have to get some Can't Catch Cal in honor.
I like that. That's made a party in here.
That's a flavor that you can get at the Wing Guru. Also get the Triple J sauce. I like to go with the garlic sriracha. Something for everybody at the Wing Guru. Best wings in town. Not like us at the Wing Guru. Go see our man Billy Richmond, former Tiger. Tell him Jason and John sent you. This song, by the way, is everywhere. Like, you cannot.
Oh, it's so huge. My son's like, Dad, listen to how much of a genius that Kendrick is. I'm like, bro, I'm very well aware of the song.
It's become like arena music. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
Like, that's how you know. It's like, it's never going
it's
anywhere.
On trailers it's been for the NBA. It's like, it is. Like, at least the bump is, you know. Like, they're not using all the lyrics, but like, everything about it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when I of all the songs that Kendrick released, I don't even necessarily think this one is the best.
No.
But it's got the best sort of like beat to it. You know what I'm saying?
The whole mix. And he is a damn lyrical genius, though. When he rips you.
The best.
Oh.
The GOAT.
He is the GOAT.
I saw Kendrick Lamar on Kanye's tour in 2013. It was like when Kendrick
was good live?
Oh, my God, bro. Yeah, really? It was almost as good as Kanye, probably better.
Wow.
At that point,
I think GP said that too.
I don't remember much about it. I mean, I was definitely beyond.
You were there?
Beyond.
I heard that.
But dude, those tickets were $175 on the floor.
Whoa.
To see Kanye West and Kendrick Lamar.
And Kendrick was the opener, obviously.
Yeah, what do you think that would be today?
Oh, now with
at
him and his status?
At a one.
Five?
At 5,000.
Yeah.
Floor.
Probably.
Floor.
With Kendrick. Floor.
I think it'd at least be $1,000.
You bought it. What was it? $150?
It was $175. Crazy.
And Kanye wasn't bigger than that at the time. What are we talking? Six, seven years ago?
No, I mean 2013. This was the he was.
Okay. So we got a decade here.
Yeah.
I
mean, but he had already put out. You know, I think this was after My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yeah.
It was after College Dropout. I think he was dropping Yeezus. I think that was the Yeezus tour. And
this wasn't weird yet.
He was getting weird.
Yeah.
But he was not fully. I mean, Yeezus was weird.
Right.
It was a weird album.
It was.
But
Kendrick,
it got weirder.
But early on, Kendrick was identified as a player in the game. But
yes,
like this whole beef thing got it went to. I mean, if anybody benefited from the whole thing, that dude took that thing to another level.
Yes, no doubt about that.
Wow. Like, and I'm not in it. Like, I don't want to act like I'm some rap aficionado. Like when you have a 16
year
old,
you're like DJ Vlad.
No, it's you absorb it because you see it on Amazon Music, and my kid is like, I know all this stuff.
But
now,
like, no, I saw they were playing this at the scrimmage the other day for the United States at the in Abu Dhabi, and Steph said to LeBron, "Bro, do they not have another song?" He's like, "We have other songs in America." He must hear this every arena he's in, and I feel like we're hearing it now all the time too. So
it's number one in hip hop right now.
Oh yeah, no, it is. It is like it's funny because this was released like a month and a half, 2 months ago. Like now it's. You know, but I'll say this for the record: Euphoria was my favorite diss track of the Kendrick and Drake.
Jake said that's his favorite. He said that's the best one.
Euphoria.
Euphoria. Jake says that's number one. It's a good one. I mean, lyrically, it's at another level.
No, it's just like that's what Euphoria is what I want to listen to when I'm pissed off at somebody. Like, I just imagine me saying these things to them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So Kendrick is speaking for you?
Exactly. Like I'm like if I'm like going through something on a personal level, you know, I put on Euphoria. I get on the Peloton and I'm like beep 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 beep. That's what I do, man. That's what I'm a weird person. I'm a weird person.
Channeling that.
Yeah, I'm out the way. Yeah, I'm a little okay. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. Leave me alone, kids. Give me 20-30 minutes with this Kendrick Lamar playlist,
right,
and I'll come out a new man.
Yeah.
But no, it was. It's amazing that a beef produced that, and it didn't come from Drake. It did
not.
It was a beef involving Drake, and the biggest hit did not come from Drake. That is.
Well, and he's second place in that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not even. It was.
Nah, they threw that towel.
It was true before that record, and it's certainly true after that record. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Anyway, this has been your sort of, you know, I guess this would probably not have been. This would have been on VH1. This would have been a VH1 sort of breakdown of
white
the,
guys on hip hop.
That's right. White guys on hip hop beefs. No question about that. When we get back, I do want to talk about this new distribution that the SEC is going to get. That, you know, it's not even like this is so much bigger. It's not even about like the little guys, because it's a distribution that is so big that it's going to make the big guys look like little guys. Right.
No, when I saw the number today, the thing I went straight to, and I know you're going to talk about that, but the tease I would give is it made Memphis's, not that it's insignificant, and Fred is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, fantasy football fans. Do you want to be the owner who was doing a cram session the night before the draft? I didn't think so. You need to start your prep now. This is Faraz from Upper Hand Fantasy. Zach and I are here to get you ready for your fantasy football drafts with insights and advice from sleepers to busts. We've got you covered and give you the upper hand on your friends. Today is the day to start getting ready for the draft. So join us and stay ahead of the competition. Follow and listen to Upper Hand Fantasy on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.